Hans Slamarant is the bomb spotter, and we've heard from him before, and we'll hear from you again.
Okay, I'm going a bit to talk about actions and legal arguments and how to combine them, and of course from my bomb spotting experience. Legal professionals are often focused on winning court cases and getting their point approved in a legal procedure, and they have good reasons to do so, but legal arguments function in a broader political field and can be used in very diverse ways. Ultimately, if the nuclear weapons will be removed, it will be by a political decision. And this political decision can be influenced by decisions of judges and legal arguments, but there is no straightforward way or straightforward causality that it will happen in that order. For example, towards politicians, the legal arguments against nuclear weapons are often a difficult point, because the legal argument is a black and white argument. It's legal or it's legal. And politicians, yeah, they can't use those arguments in a very bargaining way, and they have to find more a slow process where they can get slow steps through, and when it's just black and white, legal or illegal, for them they're not very useful. So most of the time in lobby work I have to provide politicians with completely other arguments, and we have to use the legal arguments to break our way in the political system. Because the question is, how do we build up the power with which we can force that political decision? The legal system is part, let's say, of the broader political battlefield, and it influences the means how we can build up that power. But the political debate itself is a very narrow and limited arena, and what's on the agenda and which arguments you can use is, in fact, very well guarded. In other words, you have to really to fight your way. Good arguments are not enough. The question is not to be right, but to be put in the right. And legal arguments prove useful in that fight, but they're not good in itself. They have to be a building block in a legal strategy. And in Belgium, we have been relatively successful with such a political strategy based on legal arguments. But our power building tool, let's say, have been citizens' inspections, which were strengthened by other activities based on the legal case against nuclear weapons. We've seen the political results of that by a slow rise of the nuclear weapons issue on the Belgian political agenda, coming from more parliamentary questions. And in the result we got last year, which was a resolution in which the parliament said, yeah, they rather not liked the American nuclear weapons. Important there is, okay, we do lobby work, we use the legal arguments, and if you see to the parliamentary questions and the resolutions in the Belgian parliament, we have drafted them ourselves, but that lobbying would have been powerless if it was not sustained by an action strategy behind it, which made those arguments, which put them on the agenda. Because it's important to see what we do with actions, be it actions of civil disobedience or other. You're in a way trying to conquer a voice in the political debate. You try to get a place where you can't get ignored anymore. If you see how in our society it's dealt with dissent, you can summarize it in three terms: divert, ignore, or criminalize. There are a lot of ways to divert, or perhaps better term, to channel dissent, be it administrative procedures, a politician who receives you and listens to you and with a friendly smile, different forms of consultation. But these are all ways our society organizes dialogue, but it has its limits. Our problems which are too fundamental, you can't raise there, and the arguments just get ignored. And that's the mildest form of governmental repression. It's ignorance. It's refusing to give your arguments any political relevance. And if the dissent doesn't want to ignore itself, then the heavier means or the heavier forms of repression come up, and that's criminalization. But once you've broke through those three ways to deal with dissent, you've made it to the political agenda. And with the citizen inspections, we were successful in gaining such a voice, in putting the nuclear weapons on the agenda. And we did it by entering the military bases itself. Like a manifestation, an ordinary manifestation can easily be being ignored, but at the moment people start looking for nuclear weapons on military bases, that can't be ignored anymore, that needs a reaction. And the legal arguments, for example, from the advisory opinion, gave us a tool, were helpful in shaping an action model to make sure that the criminalization worked not that easy. In fact, we were able to instrumentalize the judicial repression for our own aims. First aim was, of course, to get a court case, to get our arguments, being able to present them and win the case. But in Belgium, we've never got such a case. And we can say, oh, bad luck, the campaign has not been successful, but in fact, it has been very successful, because it was a judicial system itself who refused to let such a case happening, which meant that we, in fact, were able to disarm the judicial repression. The only argument the Belgian government has left at this moment against the nuclear weapons are, in fact, a huge mobilization of police and military to keep activists out. Last year's bomb-spotting action costed between 1.5 and 2 million euros, and they were mobilized about 5,000 police and military people to keep about 1,000 activists out. That means the Belgian army mobilized more soldiers to keep activists out of military bases than they ever have sent to Yugoslavia. That's the cost which the Belgian government is prepared to pay to keep the nuclear weapons issue off the agenda. And of course, with such a cost, it anyway pops up the agenda as well. So I think it's important, I frame it this way, to see that even if you don't get that one winning case, cases which never happen, or even lost cases, can be useful in building up a political strategy and putting up the pressure. Important behind this action model is the whole legal reasoning, and our starting point is, of course, that nuclear weapons are illegal, and I can refer to what I said yesterday and what a lot of people told here. For the action itself, important there is we use a necessity defense, the similar way has been used in Scotland. Such a necessity defense is part of Belgian criminal law, and in various versions it's also valid in other criminal law systems. And it approves activities which would otherwise be unlawful. These actions, in that sense, take place in, let's say, the spirit of the fourth principle of the Nuremberg Principles, which says the fact that a person acted pursuant to an order of his government or of superior doesn't relieve him from responsibility under international law, provided that a moral choice was in fact possible for him. And for us, the fact that our national law forces us to condone the preparation of war crimes doesn't relieve us from the duty, be it legal or moral, to act against it. Important there is that, the fact that nuclear weapons are illegal, that doesn't legitimate whatever action you do against nuclear weapons. You really have, as an activist, to look very well in the judicial system, that you can make your organize your action in such a way that you indeed have a good strategy where lost cases can have their functioning, or where you can really disarm the repression around it. That sort of action model is very dependent on the national law system. So it's not possible to copy an action strategy from one country to another and think it's going to work like that. You have to carefully adapt it to the local context. For example, what's conceived as a danger which you try to prevent and which legitimates your necessity defense is very dependent on the national implementation of international criminal law. We've heard before about the differences between the UK and the German system. It's very important that before you, let's say, copy an action model from Scotland or from Belgium to whatever other country, that you look how that happens in your own country. For example, we can say the use of nuclear weapons would be a war crime, and I think you can prove that almost everywhere. But is the same true for the deployment of nuclear weapons? How is the national implementation of international criminal law? How does that deal with preparatory acts? For example, the Belgian criminal law prohibits the possession of material which would have the aim to commit war crimes. that criminalizes a very broad scale of preparatory acts, and that makes it for us much easier to prove that there was an important crime going on and that we needed to stop it. Because the deployment is at that moment, if you can prove the use of nuclear weapons would be illegal, then the deployment is a continuous crime. But in other countries, of course, it's not that easy to prove it. We also see, if you look to the experiences from the last years, that procedural law also plays a very important role. Because the two countries where citizen inspections or the similar actions became a strong campaign strategy, and then it's Belgium and the UK, they have partially a system of jury trials. And the main reason why the bomb-spotting actions are not prosecuted anymore in Belgium is because the procureur has no other option than a jury trial. And jury is much more open to the political context of an action and much less takes less care in whatever precedent for anarchy, to quote the British judges, would set their precedent. So they're much more open to really the merits and the defence you raise. And a procureur, or the Belgian procureur, knows that he's going to lose his case before a jury if he brings a bomb-spotting action before that. After this conference, we have a workshop for people who want to really look on how do we maybe copy such an action model and what are all the legal points in our national law where we have to look in. Now, what if you're prosecuted and lose the case? So is that then completely lost strategy? If you look to all the cases against nuclear weapons activists, you see one characteristic, and it is that all the judges have avoided the fundamental question, that is the legality of the use of the envisaged use of nuclear weapons. I don't know a single case, apart from the Japanese Shimoda case, where a judge dared to look into that fundamental issue. In all cases, legal procedures were blocked or people were prosecuted on completely other grounds. Now, then, how do we defend on the fact that we continue our actions? Well, we have to make clear that the legality which is upheld in those cases is not able to legitimate itself. It's a legality who has no other arguments anymore than the fact that it has the power. What is upheld in that legality are, in fact, the remnants or legacy of the ancien regime in our law system. But with the cases where activists challenge their own courts, they show that, let's say, the emperor has no clothes and that the reigning power can't address its power anymore with the legitimacy it would need in a democracy. And what you can still do in such a case is invite the judge to make a convincing judgment. The fact that he says you've broken a law for whatever reason and he avoiding the case, then you can still say, I'm not going to stop doing actions as long as you're not convincing me. And if you can show me that the nuclear weapons are legal, I stop my actions. And I have never met one judge who dared to take that challenge and who went that deep in the case. So as long as that not happens, I think we can continue the actions even with lost cases. The important thing is to do, how do we make a political strategy where we can cope with lost cases and the consequences of that. But that's an organizing question and not a legal question. Important as well is to look at methods like the direct actions on military bases are an action with a very high limit for people. And what methods can we use to enlarge participation with less risks? And I'm going to present two little tools we've used here in Belgium. A first thing is we took a careful look at what are the complicity rules in Belgium criminal law. Because if our action is indeed a crime, another way to prevent crime, as we think, then these complicity rules define who are all the participants in our crime. And again, we can instrumentalize those complicity rules in our own strategy. That means, for example, an accomplice is everyone who finances a crime and who knows that he is doing so. So we turned that into a tool, and we made a dedicated bank account and put on the website a support declaration and demanded that people donated at least €1 to support our actions and sign the declaration, so we get a whole lot of people who are not able or are afraid to come to the actions, but who sign and give money and show that way that they think that our action is a way to prevent crime and is not illegal. And if our government has another idea about it, okay, then they have to prosecute several thousand people who have financed our actions. That's a tool which is still on our website, and we can still use more accomplices, so feel free to participate. A last model was the complaint days. We drafted a legal complaint against our government leaders and the officials for the preparations of war crimes and crimes against humanity based on the nuclear policy. And we asked people to go on the same day to file this complaint at the local police station. Each time we had about 1,000 people showing up and filing such a complaint. And this event was each time also a massive appeal to our judicial system to fulfill its role and to uphold international law itself against our government. So each time as well, our government, being that at that moment and the courts, was given a possibility to act itself before we took our action. That means that when the procureur was turning down our complaints without doing anything, he gave us, in fact, a legitimation. He proved that there was a necessity for ourselves to act. So again, it's something which is very useful to broaden action campaigns with actions which go a bit farther. To conclude, with our actions strategy, I've said we've been relatively successful. That means we have here to campaign against NATO, and NATO is a lot of countries, and that's where we find our limits, because our actions have only impact on the Belgian government. And I think one of the challenges for us as a movement is how do we show that it's an international movement. If you look to actions against the G8 or EMF, that's seen as an international movement coming out of a lot of countries, and I think the same should be possible for actions against NATO. So you can refer to end to this paper, which was in the participants' map, where we have a call for cooperation for international complaint action. The week before the big NATO summit in Riga, we want to have in a lot of European countries such complaint actions to happen. And that way we can show also in countries where there are not nuclear weapons, but which are NATO countries, that a lot of people find their government policy an illegal thing and want to have it changed. Thank you.